I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360. This week is the 50th anniversary of the launch of Sputnik. It was a metal sphere the size of a big beach ball, just under 2 feet in diameter. And it was the beginning of the space age. But Sputnik wasn't just a technological marvel. It had a lasting impact on American culture. We asked Richard Paul to look into why the Soviet satellite has, in a sense, never really left our orbit.
There are these things they tell you in school. Columbus discovered America. George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. And then you get a little older and you learn otherwise. It's 50 years since the dawn of the space age. You've grown up enough. Time to bust another one of those American myths. You remember what you were told about Sputnik.
As a result of intensive work by research institutes and design bureaus, the first artificial Earth satellite in the world has now been created.
The satellite launched,
and immediately the United States and all the people in the United States ran around with their hair on fire, and they were afraid of what was going to result from that.
Roger Lanius is head of space history at the National Air and Space Museum.
It seems that the reality is a little different than that.
You are hearing the actual signals transmitted by the Earth-circling satellite. One of the great scientific feats of the age.
That's a newsreel from the week that Sputnik launched. Did you catch that last part? One of the great scientific feats of the age?
There was a real mix of how important people thought this was.
Margaret Weidekamp is curator of the Smithsonian's exhibit on the 50th anniversary of the space age.
Some people very fearful, some people very hopeful, some people very excited.
The other thing we're told is that Sputnik was a big surprise. Lyndon Johnson called it a technological Pearl Harbor.
In some respects, I think it is an even greater challenge. In my opinion, we do not have as much time as we had after Pearl Harbor.
Again, a myth.
As the International Geophysical Year opens, the satellite is ready.
The International Geophysical Year, or IGY, was a worldwide science project that looked at how the Earth's natural systems work. At the time, the only way you could do a lot of this kind of research was by launching balloons. One of the goals of IGY was to replace balloons with a new technology, the satellite.
Every second it will broadcast data never before obtainable.
This idea of launching satellites got a lot of attention, so you'd be hard-pressed to say that Sputnik was some kind of a shock. Robert Smith is a space historian at the University of Alberta in Canada.
The Soviet Union had announced they were going to launch a satellite as part of the International Geophysical Year. The United States had done the same. So for the people in the know, it was no big surprise.
Sputnik, space helmets, and Santa. Oh, there's a jolly Christmas ahead for us all.
Wasn't much of a surprise for everyone else either. The evidence of that comes when you look at how Sputnik's launch was treated in American popular culture.
Well, let's say the fun has just begun. We're at food deck number one.
That's Jerry Engler and the Four Echoes singing Sputnik's Satellite Girl. There were country songs about Sputnik, blues songs about Sputnik. Louis Prima had a Sputnik song in his lounge act in Las Vegas.
She doesn't write me and I can't sleep. All I hear from her is... My baby's fooling around with a satellite. Now you know that that ain't right.
And it wasn't just music. In the late 50s, Sputnik was everywhere. Now, this is something that Margaret Weidekamp at the Air and Space Museum is perhaps uniquely qualified to talk about.
I have a Hot Wheels action pack that is a celebration of John Glenn's return to flight on his shuttle mission in the 1990s. And I have a postcard of Curious George in his spacesuit from Curious George Goes into Space, where
Dr. Weidekamp is curator of what's called the National Collection of Space Memorabilia, which also has another name.
On my door, I have a very clever cartoon that was drawn for me by one of our docents, a little drawing of me coming back from maternity leave, showing up at my door where it says, M. Weidekamp, PhD, curator of crap.
So who better to talk about stuff inspired by Sputnik's shape, which, if you don't remember, was a round silver ball with spiky antenna protruding out of the back.
Things like EM chandeliers, which have these long, thin tubes that have the light bulbs at the ends of them. And you find Christmas ornaments that are essentially of starburst, but then with the kind of silver, sparkly glitter that you have on them now seem to have been very much evoked by Sputnik. They remind us of those spiked, antennaed, round silvery spheres, which are satellites.
There were rounded TVs and radios, which, with their rabbit-ear antenna, looked remarkably like Sputnik.
Ashtrays, toasters, even cars were inspired, if not directly by the Sputnik, at least indirectly by the zeitgeist that it brought with it.
Paola Antonelli is a design curator at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. She says Sputnik's shape changed the very definition of futuristic, which for the last 30 years had been based on the streamlined shape of airplanes.
It was like moving from the atmosphere to the stratosphere to open space.
And Margaret Weidekamp says Sputnik entered the language, with people adding Nick to the ends of common words.
Even things like beatnik, which we don't often think of as having an influence from Sputnik, was in fact coined by someone who was interested in disparaging the beat generation and referred to them, Russifying the name, and called them beatniks, and it has stuck.
There's something odd to think about with all of this. This was a period of genuine, legitimate fear in America, like right after 9/11. The Soviets had recently broken America's monopoly on the A-bomb and the H-bomb. I mean, think about it. You didn't have people making lamps that looked like mushroom clouds. Paola Antonelli says this has to do with the dual messages we heard in Sputnik's beep.
The Sputnik, you know what? It was the Soviet Union, it was fearsome, but it was all about advances, it was about progress, and therefore, it was safe to celebrate.
Fear of Sputnik would certainly come later. By 1960, Lyndon Johnson had convinced Americans that Sputnik meant the Russians were going to drop bombs on our head.
Tonight, the communists have established a foothold in outer space.
But the Air and Space Museum's Roger Lanius says,
most of the public probably didn't think that, at least initially. They were, in many respects, excited by the launch. They thought that a new age had dawned, that we were now going to fly in space. And yeah, the Soviets had done it first, but we're on our way to doing it as well.
Sometimes the past is just as complicated and nuanced as the present. There. That's something else they never told you in school. For Studio 360, I'm Richard Paul.
Well, you talk about your Sputnik and your hound dog crew. I got a rocket, baby, faster than the Asiatic flu. I got a satellite, baby, with a red hot style that's new. Well, you got more speed than Sputnik number two.